Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
Well, this was a memorable last week for Forex markets in terms of the last week of the month of July. And we saw weakness from the U.S. dollar and volatility for the Chinese yuan. In fact, over the last 5 days, we've seen the U.S. dollar actually lose its much vaunted strength and soften significantly over the last 5 days. We also saw the Chinese yuan also infected by the market volatility that really rocked Chinese markets and sent equities falling as well, thanks to the increasing regulatory crackdown from Beijing across some of the major tech companies out in the mainland. Well, to take stock of how this has impacted Forex markets and other currencies across the region also, we're joined today on Forex Fridays by Mr. Peter Chia, the senior FX strategist at UOB. He's going to help us recap the week that was for Forex markets and what he's looking forward to as we near the month of August. Mr. Chia, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are safe and in good health during these times. And welcome to the show, sir. Happy Friday, if we can call it that.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, too. Yeah.
All right. So, Peter, you know, over the last 2 weeks, we've actually seen the U.S. dollar lose quite a bit of luster. Mm-hmm. The Fed's recent dovish comments also helped the dollar soften significantly. Do you think that the greenback's recent rally is at an end as we see it fall dangerously close to that 90 level?
On the contrary, we believe that this is just the beginning of the U.S. dollar uptrend. And last Friday, we had seen that official data out of the CFTC in the U.S. that the U.S. dollar has registered the first net long position since March 2020. So this could be the beginning. And I think right now what we are seeing is that there's a little bit of a pullback. There's two reasons why the dollar is a bit softer in the last 1 week or so. The first one being data coming out from U.S. is slightly under expectations. So case in point, we had the U.S. GDP, the second quarter GDP out yesterday night. It came in at 6.5%. Market was expecting 8.4%. But mind you, 6.5% is still very respectable to begin with. And the second effect that could possibly weigh on the dollar in the past week or so is the treasury yields have been aging lower, or rather it has not been going up at all. So often not, the treasury yields and US dollar goes hand in hand. So when treasury yields is lower, typically the US dollar will not be way too high.
Mm-hmm. Now, Peter, what are some of the big markers you're looking out for with regards to the U.S. dollar? Top of my head, you've got the Jackson Hole Symposium still at a go for the end of August. Are there any other big markers you might be looking out for with regards to the greenback?
For me, I will say before Jackson Hole, we have an important data print. That is the July non-farm payroll that will be out next Friday, on the first Friday of every month. Market is looking at 925K. So if we do see the print coming out near to that number, that will be a new high for the year. And I think for sure this will give the Fed more confidence to really pursue their tightening measure, or at least to pursue their tapering plans by the end of this year. Mm. And for the Jackson Hole, which comes out at the end of August, we believe that this could be still a event risk, meaning that the Fed could give a little bit more hint about what their plans about QE tapering would be in that meeting. But we believe that further details should be out come the September FOMC. And after which we are thinking that the first taper will happen in December FOMC. And this process will take about 1.5 years, all the way until May 2023.
Interesting outlook there. We're speaking to Mr. Peter Chia, the senior FX strategist at UOB here on Forex Fridays. And as I mentioned, Peter, we wanted to also take a look at the Chinese yuan. Chinese markets, as we know, over the last 4 or 5 days got rocked and impacted also. This also impacted is the Chinese renminbi, which also breached six spot 50 against the dollar midweek. Things have been soothed somewhat. In fact, when I take a look at the Chinese yuan, at least onshore, it's trading about 6.45 against the U.S. dollars. But based on what's happened over the last couple of days, what are some of your key takeaways from the recent market movements that's impacted the renminbi? And has this also altered your outlook on the Chinese yuan somewhat?
Considering that the equity market in Hong Kong and China were like whipsawing in excess of 5% every day for the past week, the currency market, or the CNY, was a lot more tame. In fact, we see limited spillover from the equity market to the FX market. So like what you correctly said, dollar CNY briefly popped above 650 to about high of 651 on Tuesday. And right now, we are back right into the range that the currency pair was trading throughout July, which is between 645 and 650. So what the market is telling us is that there's nothing much to look at in the near term. Market drivers are still that of the hawkish, gradually hawkish Federal Reserve, which is underpinning the US dollar. But RMB weakness is buffered by strong fundamentals out of China. I mean, all in all, we're still looking for China to grow 9.1% this year. So we believe that we should see overall modest weakness of CNY, and by year end we should see the dollar CNY gradually gravitate higher towards 660. But of course, of keen notice is that technology is big in China, and yes, it's increasingly important for investments and manufacturing activities, and it accounts for a large part of Chinese economic expansion in the recent years. So we are watching the development very closely. So if we do see this scrutiny intensifying throughout the rest of this year, and that could have a considerable impact on growth in the second half of this year. And if that really happens, and I guess maybe the FX market will respond more this time around, and maybe will factor in a weaker than expected CNY going forward.
All right. Peter, I want to shift our attention now to one currency of note here in the region, and I want to talk about the Thai baht. As we know, the Bank of Thailand set to make their next policy decision next week, and it's arguable that no foreign exchange or no currency across the ASEAN has been hit harder than the Thai baht. We know that COVID-19 cases have been on the rise yet again. It's basically threatening to derail their planned reopening of their tourism industry. How are you viewing the economic uncertainty out in Bangkok, and how bad can things get for the Thai baht, which has continued to lose ground? It's now weakened to about 32.86 against the dollar. What are your thoughts now on where this currency might head, and how much worse can it get possibly?
Sure. So, I mean, the macro backdrop for Thailand, we need no introduction about why is it so bad right now. And it's likely to be still, at least, it's going to get worse before it gets better, at least, in the next couple of months. So, but we believe that most of the negative factors have already been priced into the currency. So, at about 32.90, right now against the dollar, the Thai baht has dropped almost 10% year to date, and we are only like at the 7th month of the year, and it's already down 10%. This is the weakest or the worst performance for the Thai baht in over 20 years. So already we see that this is an outsized drop in any form. And as a result of this recent steep correction, we have noted that the Thai baht real effective exchange rate, or what we call the REER, has reverted back to neutral levels in July. And just to recap, the baht was trading at overbought levels in the last couple of years because of the very strong fundamentals back then before the pandemic. So right now, valuations are more or less from overbought level has corrected back to neutral. So our take on baht is very simple. Unless the growth for this year, which is the 2021 GDP, flips back into the contraction territory, currently we're expecting about 1.5% this year. So until this number turns negative, we're a little bit more cautious about extrapolating further excessive weakness in the baht from current levels. So considering that previously we were bearish on the baht, those targets were met earlier part of this month. But considering what I just mentioned, we choose to be a little bit still bearish, but the degree or the rate of depreciation in the next two quarters will likely slow down. So we are looking at about 33.3 next this quarter, and about 33.6 in the final quarter of this year.
All right. And finally, Peter, I do want to ask you about two particular currencies that are tied at the hip. And we're trading at parity for a while. Fortune seemed to have changed for both the Aussie and the Singapore dollar. Despite both Australia and Singapore facing these COVID-19 flare-ups, the rate has now hit parity. In fact, we've actually seen it favor the Sing dollar at 0.9984 against the Australian dollar. Now, because of their diverging fortunes right now and the economic challenge that Australia is facing at the moment, could we see the local currency actually gain even more grounds against the Aussie in the months ahead?
Thanks, JP. This is the most commonly asked question that I'm faced with for the past 1 or 2 weeks. Because Singaporeans, they're very sensitive to this parity level. Whenever it goes to parity, the question is always, is it time to buy? Yeah, because we are very, the only currency that people tend to invest in this part of the world is Australian dollar and the sterling pound.
Mm-hmm.
So just to recap a little bit what has moved in the last couple of months, the high for Aussie Sing was about 104 in May. Right now we are back about 4 cents lower to about parity. There is two reasons why Aussie is underperforming. First is that both Singapore and Australia are being hit by COVID. That's very clear. But what is different for both countries is that Singapore has a high immunization rate. Australia has a very low immunization rate. So when COVID does hit this time around, especially the more contagious Delta variant, having a low immunization rate means that the social restriction have to be more severe and more prolonged, like what we've seen in Australia. They go straight back into circuit breaker, but we go back to phase two. Yeah, so this difference is the reason why Australia will have all this start-stop behavior in terms of their economy. So that is one reason why growth is likely to be going to be under some risk this year, and that's the reason why all these markets are underperforming the Aussie. The second reason, which is a little bit more long stretch out, is that of the because of all this uncertainty in growth, the Reserve Bank of Australia is staying very dovish, meaning that they have hinted very clearly that the rate hike is very far away. It's possibly 2024. So, I mean, if you look at it, all the developed states, most of them are looking for rate hike as soon as, let's say, New Zealand come next month. So when you have a currency that is going to hike like 3 years later, typically the interest on the currency will be a bit lower. So, but I think that we round it out with our basic idea is that I think we have to appreciate that all these things have gone a long way from the 80 cent low last March or even the 96 cents low at the start of the reflation last November. So we are still above those levels and we have gone a very long way. So what I'm saying is that even if this uptrend continues, there is a lot of space for it to correct on the downside. So I would say be patient if you're looking to buy, or maybe space out your buying levels. Don't just buy one shot at one level because you find it very attractive. So I think gradually averaging down could be a reasonable strategy going forward for this currency.
Salient advice from Peter Cha, Senior FX Strategist at UOB. And I'd like to thank you, Peter, for joining us today on Forex Fridays. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times. And we look forward to next time we can have you back on the show. Meanwhile, try to have a great weekend ahead, sir. And
thank
we look
you.
Forward to speaking again.
Thank you, everyone. Stay safe.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.